Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
March is here, and that means that Zen Sports has a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes for you. The Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. Also, 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March and every dollar bet in March. Also, you can earn 10 times the entries on all parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with promo code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they offer multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% bonus on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. Just go see the full terms on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to wager. Let's get into the list. Let's go with West Virginia. Yes, according to Kyle Boone, co-worker of Cobb, standing in front of a wooden podium with a teal blue sign attached to the front with the acronym NCAA, in this case standing for National Corrupt Athletic Association, West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey and Attorney General J.B. McCuskey announced at a joint press conference Monday they will launch an investigation into the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee after the Mountaineers were snubbed from the 68-team field on Sunday. Quote, nearly every single sports fan, pundit, and bracketologist had West Virginia as a shoe-in for the tournament, Governor Morrisey said. This was a miscarriage of justice and a robbery at the highest level. Now, who was the last team to get into the tournament ahead of the Mountaineers? Morrisey asked hypothetically. That would be the University of North Carolina. And let's see how their resume stacks up. The Tar Heels went 1-12 in Quad 1 and even had a Quad 3 loss. And we keep hearing about the importance of these quad one wins, but UNC couldn't even get more than one. They all said the 25th toughest schedule in America, right behind WVU. Now, here's something you may not know. UNC had representation in the room during the selection process. Let me repeat that. UNC had representation in the room during the selection process. Bubba Cunningham is the athletic director for UNC. He also happens to be the head of the tournament selection committee. Okay, so to a certain degree, this is kind of like something that's becoming more and more common, Cobb, where we have the political theatrics. I mean, we had the Florida State getting left out. I can't remember if it was, I believe, who it was, the governor, right? I think the governor made kind of a political speech, and we're starting to see this more and more. I guess the other thing about like all this is like, I think West Virginia has a right to be upset and can plead their case. Like, I don't think anything's going to happen from it. The only thing that kind of annoys me is, like, it just feels like it's the politicians figuring out another chance with the cameras flashing to make their point. But maybe to a certain level, if you're Ren Baker, you're like, hey, I can't really go out and be this strong, and the politicians can, so maybe they're saying what I want them to say, but I think they have the right to do this.
Yeah, I'd be mad too, especially because of the criteria that the committee used to exclude West Virginia was so ridiculous. They pointed to an injury to Tucker DeVries, who in theory should be West Virginia's best player, but he missed basically the entire season. So they amassed all these quad one wins without him. And now they're saying, well, he's hurt and he's out, and so, you know, we're not going to put you in the field. If they hadn't said that, they'd be in a much better position right now. But it just looks ridiculous to say, well, you know, your best player's hurt. Okay, so what? We did all of our resume work without him. We won at Kansas inside Allen Fieldhouse without him. So how are you going to say that his injury is the reason why we're not making the field? You know, in some respect, I think a lot of people would have more respect for the committee if they would just say, well, North Carolina is a strong brand, and we know they'll attract a lot of eyeballs if we put them in the first four. So we decided to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's almost like, would that make people more mad, though?
Well, at least they would just be telling the truth.
Yeah, I think certainly from my perspective, I would at least give a hat tip. It's like, thank you for at least being honest. But, I do wonder, because the play-in games are on True TV, right? So that's the Turner side of the contract. It's I just wonder, how much pressure is being applied. Because obviously, if you're True TV, if you're Turner, you're hell yeah, give us North Carolina. We'll take that all day, every day. I think the thing that annoys people the most is it felt like Carolina wasn't even, it felt like Carolina was at the bottom of even the other teams that you would consider. If you just match them up with West Virginia, Indiana, and I guess even Ohio State, it's they should have been the fourth team, and then they get in. I do acknowledge that's what's upsetting people.
And how much more would the uproar be today had UNC not mounted that rally in the second half against Duke? That game was nuts. I was hotspotting it from the floor at Bridgestone Arena. I had Jeff Goodman and Pat Forty looking over my shoulder watching this game with me to see how it ended. And North Carolina came back. They might have won the game if not for that lane violation from Jalen Withers, in which case the discussion today is totally different, right? If North Carolina wins the game over Duke, even without Cooper Flagg, people aren't as mad about them being in this field. But on the flip side, if they hadn't rallied and at least made that game competitive, the uproar would be even more so directed towards the committee for letting UNC in. So to be honest, I think UNC might have played its way into the bracket, even in a loss, by the fact that it came back and was competitive against Duke.
Kind of a version of what SMU did, because it felt like in
100%.
The ACC championship game, if that game, because what was it, 31-7?
Yeah, they came back, and then Clemson ends up winning it. But it's okay, we can see it. We can see it with SMU.
Right.
They passed the eye test, right? And what's the eye test supposed to mean? Nothing. But in these situations, it gives all you need is a peg to validate, including UNC. And it's they were real committed. A lane violation is what screwed them against Duke. And KenPom has them in the 30s. So that's all, right? All they need is a couple of little things to sink their teeth into.
Yeah, it's almost because I agree with you. At the end of the day, they wanted to put in Carolina, they put in Carolina. It just felt like that was, did y'all do this as a challenge to just see if you could? Because it was always going to be the hardest case to make. I know they do they're undefeated in quad two, and it's
What in what other universe are we talking about a team's quad two record?
Well, the universe when we don't want to talk about quad one.
Exactly.
That's the answer is only in that universe. But I think that's kind of what's driven people insane. It's of all the possible options. I guess I wonder this, though. Did they say, was West Virginia next? I'm trying to remember on the selection show.
First team out.
I was thinking, what if Indiana would have gotten?
Well, I thought about that too. And I thought about the coaching dynamics. If UNC had signaled that it's moving on from Hubert Davis, and we know that era is over. you got a similarly high caliber blue blood team. Let's say Indiana is keeping Mike Woodson, right? Like, does that subliminally factor into the committee's thinking? Because they're thinking, oh, well, Indiana doesn't even believe in itself. They already fired their coach, right? Whereas they're like, all right, well, Hubert Davis is going to continue to exist as North Carolina's coach. We'll reward that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if I talked about it with you or maybe it was Topmeyer or maybe it was Tim, but like, I do think that factors in. They can obviously they're never going to put it on a sheet, but you really think in a committee where they're talking about teams that it's not going to come up? Hey, like, what about the coaching situation here? Like, it has to come up.
I mean, honestly, I just salute the committee for not doing a North Carolina, Indiana first four game. I mean, that would have been too obvious, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would have just been such a cash grab that it would have been laughable.
They probably had to give Indiana an IOU. Like, hey, we'll get you back. Don't worry.
For sure.
There'll be another chance.
I love the NCAA, National Corrupt Athletic. I just love that so much. I mean, come on. That's fantastic political theater.
That was indeed the case. South Alabama. All right, so this was kind of an odd story that broke last night, and I believe the origin is that UC Riverside was invited to both the CBI and the NIT, right? That's because, first off, how does that end up happening?
No idea.
I think
these trivial postseason tournaments are such a sham.
All right, so this is how South Alabama gets involved. South Alabama's season is over after the team's NIT invitation was rescinded in a manner that head coach Richie Riley called, quote, unacceptable, end quote. Riley told AL.com he was informed late Sunday night that his team had been invited to the NIT due to UC Riverside declining its invitation because of a previous commitment to play in the College Basketball Invitational, a tournament with no NCAA affiliation. However, shortly after Riley informed his team that it would be playing in the NIT, UC Riverside was able to get out of its commitment to the CBI and accept the NIT bid. Sunbelt Commissioner Keith Gill, who I believe was the human shield last night, right? I think Keith Gill was the guy that just handed over. And NCAA Senior Vice President of Basketball, Dan Gavitt. I'm going to tell these guys, they're like, go ahead. So I tell the team. They call back. Whatever time it was, 10:45, 11 o'clock, Dan's like, no, UC Riverside's back in. I hate that we had to do this. Riley says, this is unacceptable. You can't do that. I'm on Richie Riley's side here. Like,
well, it's UC Riverside had accepted an invitation to another event.
Right.
They to me, are the problem here.
Correct.
I mean, they should have just said.
Well, you can't, like. Even if like Riverside says, "Hey, we found a way to get out," like tough.
So a source told CBS that Riverside was not even aware that the NIT was a possibility. So they accept the CBI invite because they don't think that they're even in the mix for the NIT. But my whole thing is, look at the NIT now. The College Basketball Crown has taken all the Power Conference juice out of the NIT. So is playing in the NIT really all that much bigger of a deal than playing in the CBI at this point? At the end of the day, like, if you don't make the NCAA tournament, none of this stuff matters.
Well, the only thing I don't know, do you have to pay your way into the CBI?
It might be one of those, yeah.
So if I'm one of these smaller schools, because there's the other key difference, because as Cobb points out, so the Crown is a Fox property, and the power schools that have contracts with Fox, it's non-negotiable. They have to play in it. And so that's why you'll start to see some bigger names, at least brands, if you will, in that. Whereas the NIT, so it's the SEC, the ACC that doesn't have a Fox deal. Am I missing one? Because, right, Big 12 has Fox agreements. Big East has Fox agreements. Big 10, obviously, has Fox agreements. So it's really just the SEC and the ACC.
So the NIT was going to do this thing where they took the best teams from those leagues, but that didn't make the field. But you think LSU or South Carolina give a you-know-what about playing in the NIT?
Well, no. I mean, that's the other point. So at least in the Crown, like, they can't say no. But basically now you have the opportunity where all these power schools, they don't want to be in it because, spirit of full disclosure, like, the talking point will be, well, this is so we can get ahead of the portal, which is true, but oftentimes it's teams that have had a bad season. They're trying to they don't want to have to keep paying guys. Like, they want to start over, and they want to blow it up. And so they say, like, no, our season's done. But, like, it maybe, I feel like, has the opportunity to kind of be something at least a little interesting for the mid-majors, where at least some of these teams would care. But, like, I'm with you. Is that something we all want to watch? Like, I'm not saying, like, we don't. And maybe tacitly, this is also the argument against, you know, something that's been popularized in college football is have a G5 championship. And I've kind of been on record of, like, I like it in theory, but I also acknowledge if I'm one of those schools, I'm not doing it until I am forced to do it. Because as soon as you agree to it, they'll just find a way to cut you out, and you might as well at least keep getting the money as long as possible. Like, maybe that could be slightly interesting as kind of like a best of the rest mid-major, but I feel like kind of like what we've been talking about for the whole show, it's like the tournament just sucks up so much oxygen. Do we even have the bandwidth to watch all this?
No, all you do when you play in a non-NCAA tournament postseason event is showcase your players to potentially then be poached in the transfer portal. And then you just put yourself behind the eight ball with building your roster for next season. You look at some of these teams that go on deep postseason runs in the NCAA tournament. They're behind. They're behind. If you play into the last week of March, the first week of April, the portal's already open by the time you're coming up for air. And you're behind because a lot of the South Carolina and LSU, for example, right now, they're 100% focused on building next year's roster at this moment. So they're saying, we don't care about the NIT. Give me a break. Now, I will say, like, for the mid-major teams, I think it is fascinating because there's so few who actually get a chance to make the NCAA tournament that if you feel like you can go play for something that would be meaningful to your school, like, okay, I get that. But you can't convince me for a second that the Big East and Big 12 and Big 10 coaches are fired up to go play in the college basketball crown. It's a first year made for TV event that nobody's going to watch. So what benefit is there to you for playing in it aside from getting your younger players reps? And then the whole thing kind of comes back to, all right, do you want your eighth or ninth guy to go out there and ball out and then get a big time offer that you then have to match in the portal? So if I had it my way, man, like, more of these non-NCAA tournament events or none at all, I would probably say give me none at all.
Yeah, and I know there is an NIL component to the crown, but I believe it's only for the teams that make the championship game. So for those that don't know, it's everyone's going to go and hang out in Vegas. So there's not, you're not bouncing site to site. So you hang out in Vegas for as long as it can be. But also, I don't know, does it, like, do just the players that play in the game, they get extra cash incentive, or does it go to the two representatives, their NIL collective?
Well, that's the one thing to be afraid of with these events is there a universe 10, 15 years down the line where a private equity firm tries to infuse one of these postseason tournaments with a ton of NIL cash? Because we've seen it in the multi-team events early in the season to where Maui is no longer the destination. I mean, Maui invitations used to be like gold, right? If you got invited to Maui, that
was
like
a pipe dream for what, 95% of the sport?
Yeah, and this year's field was still really good. Obviously, the one that Memphis was in, Michigan State, UConn, et cetera. But going forward, the Players Era Invitational is going to siphon off all of the best teams from Maui. Why? Because they're offering NIL to the players who participate.
Well, I believe, so I think Baylor was originally in the Maui field, and they went to the Vegas one that you're talking
about. Players Invitational, yeah.
And I think there were two teams that were in Maui that were like, nope, we're going to go do that.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, the NCAA tournament is in imminent jeopardy or something, but, like, I mean, that is maybe a long-term concern, is that if the Saudis decide to pour $5 billion into college basketball for whatever reason, that you could end up with some sort of LIV PGA Tour situation where
I'm pretty sure the Players Invitational had, like, Qatar money.
Probably, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, that's where this is headed. All right, speaking of maybe things from a bygone era, Deion Sanders. Not Deion from a bygone era, but Deion's got an interesting idea. I'm curious to know how you feel about it. Colorado head coach Deion Sanders revealed he wanted to take it up a notch with this year's spring game. He wants the Buffaloes to play an imposing team rather than have an inner squad. Sanders sees college football in an NFL lens, which is totally fine, according to On3. Perhaps that's the approach the sport should take when it comes to the offseason and the spring. Treating spring games like the preseason could be a new norm if teams decide to get rid of their spring game or take Sanders' idea. We'll just have to wait to see if Sanders can get someone to Boulder. Quote, the spring game will be televised on ESPN2 on the 19th. We got to sell this thing out, pack this thing, because the way the trend is going, you never know if it's going to be the last spring game. I don't believe in that. I don't really want to condone that. I would like to actually play in the spring. Actually, I'd like to play against another team in the spring. That's what I'm trying to do. To have a competitive game against your own guys gets kind of monotonous. You really can't tell the level of your guys because you know it's the same old, same way. Everybody kind of knows each other. Towards the end, I would like to style like the pros. I'd like to practice against someone for a few days, then you have a spring game, and I think the public will be satisfied with that tremendously. I think it is a tremendous idea. I've told those personnel who should understand that it's a tremendous idea. All right, so I think obviously, I think the real question is, like, collectively, I think we're all kind of like, I'd rather have that than a spring game, or the other trend that we're seeing, which is no spring game. I think this is more interesting.
Yes.
I think the problem that you run into, right, is, well, you're going to have to start scheduling, like, to have interesting opponents, you're probably going to have to start scheduling home and homes.
Well, it doesn't have to be an interesting opponent. This is where you should play your FCS team. Don't play your FCS team in September or in week 11. You know, who needs Alabama Mercer in November? Play Alabama Mercer in April. Mercer gets the check. They're going to Bryant-Denny. It might not be as big of a check because it's not a regular season game. It's out of the rhythm for a normal college football fan, but that would be – then it's a win-win for everyone, right? You actually get reps in a real game against a real opponent. The FCS team still gets their check, and now you don't play the FCS team in the fall, which is a huge win for your season ticket holders who are sick of these games. I love it. I think Deion's got a great idea.
Obviously the complication factors is the FCS schools are going, well, we haven't really practiced and whatnot, but it's like, I feel like FCS spring ball is probably taken more seriously than FBS spring ball, right?
Dangle $500K in front of them and see what they have to say about it.
Oh, I think you could even charge more.
Yeah, and then you sell the game to a TV partner. So yeah, I think it's
because what's the going rate? What's the going rate right now for an FCS win? 2 million.
Yeah, it's huge. Like it's huge. It funds the athletic department.
Now,
for some of these schools.
Obviously, like to your point, you're not going to get that. And then obviously from Colorado, they're not going to be able to sell tickets at whatever $100 a pop like they would for regular season games. So instead of making $15 million on the game and paying a team $2 million to come and take the L, I actually think that's a pretty good solution because I'm with you. Get rid of the FCS games. But the one thing I was always sympathetic to is while I do believe coaches were not being genuine and saying, like, this is the lifeblood of those programs is feeding, you know, funding those games, that was always disingenuous to me. But I also do acknowledge the check is worth something to these programs. It's not a zero, if you will. And if this is how we get rid of the games, like, yeah, give me that.
If I'm a TV partner, I'm saying, yes, do this. Because the scrimmage that devolves into, like, drills where you're trying to throw the ball into a trash can or whatever, come on. That's
the eating contests, whatnot, like.
Yeah, and, like, God bless, like, Cole Kubelik, who's down there on the field with a microphone and trying to interview people mid-game, but, like, it's a tough watch. I mean, it's a tough watch. So I say play an actual game. If I'm ESPN, I'm Fox, whoever, ESPN Plus, perfect content. Perfect content for ESPN Plus. You want to see Tennessee play UT Martin in the spring game? Sign up for ESPN Plus. Don't even make it a full 60-minute game if you don't want to, right? If you don't want to risk injury.
Sure.
Do 48 minutes or running clocks in half, whatever you got to do, but, like, make it a game. Make it a game, and people would pay to see it.
And I think that would actually be a legitimate solution to the deterioration of the spring game. Because I'm with you. Like, some of these games you end up watching, you're like, this is such a waste of time. But at least you would see something more competitive.
Got to have it.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's get back to the brackets. Let's get some thoughts from Cobb. I've got the Bible sheet that goes through from the media of notes, trends, whatnot. We'll discuss what we think is pertinent. I think there's one for the gamblers out there that matters, so I'll tell you about it next when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
All right, Cobb. Back to the brackets, baby. I think the question that I have for you is, when filling out your bracket, How motivated are you to kind of go against the grain here? Because I think this is a really interesting tournament where it's like you could tell me we wind up with an Elite Eight with like six top one or two seeds, or you can tell me like, hey, it's March Madness, baby. It'll always deliver.
So my first pass through is a little chalky, right? Because you're just going off of vibes. But then as you dive into the matchups a little more, you start to see little things that catch your attention. Like who could be a potential Cinderella? And I'm going to go give you one right now.
All right.
UC San Diego, Jeffrey. All right, they're playing
Michigan. They don't have a single guy over 6'4".
Their tallest guy is 6'4", is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, but Michigan is probably the most turnover-prone team in this bracket. UC San Diego forces more turnovers than anybody in the bracket. There's no way Michigan plays this game without coughing it up at least 20 times. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, like, UC San Diego is the absolute nightmare matchup for Michigan. And I'm thinking, you know, my first pass through, I had to submit one last night, like on the fly, I had Michigan winning that game. But when I go to submit my final bracket before the games really pick up on Thursday, I think I'm going to have UC San Diego winning that game. Not only that, they're a KenPom darling, right? Like,
oh,
they are a top 40 KenPom team.
I also liked some of the cheeky ones. I did like how the East region has both Mount St. Mary's and St. Mary's in it. I did enjoy that. We have the all-initial matchup of BYU versus VCU. Will Wade coaching at McNeese coaching against his alma mater, Clemson, if Brad Brunell were to take another job? Is Will viewing that as an opportunity? I don't know. Where are you on UConn right now? Because part of me thinks, like, I kind of made the joke on when it looked like UConn was close to coming back and making Creighton, like, absolutely have one of the worst losses we would have seen in the Big East tournaments. Like, I could see Hurley trying to win a national title from an 8 seed just to, like, give himself a handicap. But then there's also the reality of, like, I just don't know if UConn's any good.
Well, here's the truth. Coaching matchups matter this time of year. Dan Hurley versus Todd Golden, give me Dan Hurley every time. Todd Golden's never coached beyond the first round of the NCAA tournament. He's got a national title capable team here, and Florida is my pick at the moment to win it all. I'll say I was influenced by the fact that I saw them in person 3 days in a row, and they were a machine in Nashville. Florida's really stinking good. But come on, UConn's won 2 national titles in a row, and no, this team this year is not as good as either of those past 2 teams have been, not even by a long shot, but it's Dan Hurley, man. And the fact is he's been through these fires now. And so that will be a dogfight if UConn gets Florida in the second round. And I do like UConn to beat Oklahoma. I hate the matchup for Oklahoma because Jeremiah Fears, man, that dude is a stud. There are so many good freshmen
in
the field this year.
God, is he fast.
It's going to be so refreshing to have like this infusion of freshman talent in the field this year. So I hate it for Oklahoma that they got matched up with UConn, but I love, of all the potential 8-9 matchups or 8-1 matchups in the second round, gosh, UConn versus Florida, that is a primo cream de la cream type of game.
Yeah, because I'm with you, because Mark and I were talking yesterday, and his deal was, I think I trust Florida more than I trust Auburn. I was like, no, I think it's kind of the reverse. Like, I trust Auburn. Do I know if Auburn, like, I think Florida has a higher ceiling. But I do think, for the most part, you know what you're getting out of Auburn. Because I think there's this tendency to believe that maybe they're playing worse than they are. It's like, guys, when you play that tough of a schedule, there are going to be some losses in there. But, like, they don't just get, other than kind of that A&M game where it was like 2 days, it was 2 days after they just won. They just won the conference title. Like, for the most part, it's like they show up every night. With Florida, it's like, I do think their top end is way higher, but then, like, they will have, like, a Tennessee game here and there where, like, they make absolutely nothing. But I you're now in my head on the whole Golden thing, because, like, how many teams just show up and start winning in the NCAA tournament? I guess, is Hurley's first run? Because
he's the comp, which is ironic because they might play each other. But what had Hurley done in the NCAA tournament until 23 when UConn just tore through that bracket? Florida is 100% capable of doing that. They are ruthless, man. Their guards are so, so good. And then they just have a convoy of bigs. In this era of college basketball where you've seen more and more programs go with a stretch four and try to go with that more agile floor spacing big in the four spot, Florida said, no. We're going to double down on size. And they have 4 guys between 6'9 and 7 feet who are capable of bodying you on the block. And the thing is, all of them, almost without exception, can step out and do things on the perimeter, especially on defense, too. So there's just no easy way to game plan against Florida. But, I mean, Dan Hurley is such a just mastermind tactician. I mean, that's why he was in the running for the Lakers job, right? I mean, because he knows the schematics of the game and the X's knows better than anyone. So he could absolutely game plan the heck out of Florida and at least give himself a chance in that game.
Yeah, and honestly, for the Ole Miss fans here, I feel like it's kind of becoming trendy to think like Ole Miss is not going to advance. Like, if people have forgotten, Chris Beard's pretty good in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do think this is true, though. I think Ole Miss needs to root for San Diego State. I like the San Diego State matchup more than I like North Carolina, because Carolina can get Ole Miss into a game where, hey, you're going to have to come and score with us, and our guards have speed. Whereas San Diego State, like, they can kind of play the same type of game they want to play.
And then you got to root for Lipscomb. Oh, I mean, obviously, you'd rather have Lipscomb than Iowa State. But even if you get Iowa State, they're going to be without Keyshawn Gilbert. The vibes at Iowa State right now are not great.
And they strategically waited until well after the selection committee to announce that Gilbert's out. And you really think they just found out?
And also the phrasing there, he won't be available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this injury hasn't necessarily been something that's kept Gilbert out entirely over the past month. So he won't be available. How much of that is due to injury? How much of that is due to other factors? I'll just leave that, you know, for you guys to marinate on. But what it comes down to is that the vibes around Iowa State are not fantastic. So Ole Miss has a shot. My only problem is that first game, because I'm with you. I don't think UNC would be a good matchup.
No, that's the type of game that Ole Miss doesn't necessarily want to get into. If we could only watch one game Thursday and Friday, which you and I have planned on watching the ball, it is Kansas and Arkansas. It's a 7-10 game. None of these teams are gonna have an impact on this, but it's like, sign me up.
Because we could get Rick Pitino versus Bill Self, Rick Pitino versus John Calipari.
Either way, sign me up.
This one's, and you sort of have the geographical element there with Kansas and Arkansas.
Yes.
So that's fun.
Well, you have Kansas and Arkansas.
And they're playing in, Wichita. No, I'm sorry. They're in Providence. That's a home game for Rick Pitino, man. How crazy is that? He's going to be playing in Providence, which is where he, you know, for sort of first became a rock star, what now, 30 years ago.
It's BU, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, St. John's. Are those the schools that he's now? I think he set a record for
Iona.
Iona counts too. And they also made a change today.
They did. They fired my boy.
That felt like it came out of nowhere. Like, I know when you go and you look at the record, you're like, I think he was a game under 500, but it's like, I don't know. Iona, after 2 years, that felt like that was aggressive.
They did him dirty. They did him dirty, Jeffrey. So what happened is they were like 5-12 in January, made up their mind then. Well, lo and behold, he goes to win 12 of the next 16 and reach the MAC tournament final, right? One game away from making the big dance. Wins 12 of his last 16 games, but they made up their mind 2 months before they were going to make a move. So he's a good coach. And his best player had already committed to coming back. DeJour Reeves is like a high major guy if he gets in the portal, and then he's coming back, right? So, you have all this momentum. That was diabolical, firing Tobin Anderson.
Yeah, that did not pass the smell test. All right, I told you there was a trend for the gamblers out there that I was been paying attention to. And so the whole question of, does the spread matter? Because I don't know how deep you've gotten into gambling circles. In the NCAA tournament, there's this mantra of spreads don't matter. As in, just pick, if you think a favorite's going to win, sometimes you're better off
just laying
the favorite. And then when you think if you like the underdog, just take the underdog on the money line, get the plus sign. So this is from the media Bible, if you will. Two trends that I've been tracking since the 21 tournament focus on the spreads of the tournament games. First, I looked at that if there had been any trend between favorites or underdogs covering. As you'll see below, favorites have won 180 of 268 tournament games. That's 67%, no surprise. Favorites have been slightly better against the spread, as favorites have covered 138 out of 268 teams. So slightly at 51%, you'd still be in the money. Second, I wanted to see if spreads on the games mattered and if the team that covered differed from the team that won straight up. A team is credited with a win if they won both the game and covered the spread. A team is credited with a loss if they win the game straight up but fail to cover. Since 2021, 226 of 268 tournament games, that's 84%, the team that won straight up also covered the spread in those games. And then if you go beyond the opening round, like, so obviously in the opening round, like, you're going to have some, you know, massive, what, 28, 29 points. Some spreads will get close to 30. But then if you start to get into the second round, it happens at an 80% clip. Sweet 16, 94% clip. Elite 8, 94% clip. Final 4, 75%. And in the final, 75%. So kind of like, you know, once you get past the first round where a lot of teams are getting big numbers, so they'll cover but not win. Like, after that, it really starts to be whichever team you like, just take them on the money line.
Pick them straight up. Dude, this document you sent me is insane.
I know, right? 30-something pages.
How much should I have paid you for this?
I use all your other accounts, so you're good.
Yeah, you owe
call,
me, yeah.
Call this like the one time I'm paying you back. But it's this is the sheet that the Bear Chris Felik always references, and I have a buddy who's acts like family friends with the Bear, so it gets to me every single year.
Okay, so who do you like, man? Like you're looking at this thing, you got to figure out who's going to cut it down in San Antonio on April the 7th. You could be chalky. I'm not going to judge you.
No, I'm not even trying to be clever. What's St. John's offensive efficiency? Because I feel like they kind of picked it up.
Because
I felt like for a while St. John's
65, Jeffrey.
All right, so I'm getting rid of them. I'm like you. I'm now starting to do the move of maybe I like Florida too much that I'm now starting to question if I like Florida. George has got someone he wants to win. George, who do you like?
I didn't even mean that, but I'm leaning chalk just like you guys, honestly.
I just really wonder if this is one of those years where the good teams are just like what we've seen this year.
I like,
Houston. The good teams don't. The only thing I'm worried about Houston is injuries.
Yeah, true.
I kind of wonder.
It seems to
like,
be the same thing every year for Houston. They always get banged up this time of year. It's Jamal Shedd last year. This year, well, hopefully Jaywan Roberts is fine. Like I have this weird like soft spot in my heart for Houston, so it kind of pained me a little bit to advance Tennessee in that region because I hated that could be a potential matchup. I would love to see Kelvin Sampson in the Final Four.
I agree with you there. I like Houston because also this year Houston can shoot, which I very much appreciate. That's better than what they've been doing. I kind of weirdly think like people have soured a little too much on Auburn.
No, that's fair. They're not going to be a super popular pick.
And I kind of like that they got out on Saturday. Hey, get back, get it together. My fear though is we're all just like this is just we're just going to wind up with Duke cutting the Nets down.
Cooper Flagg, though, man, those ankles, right? Like, you just never know. We saw it in the second half against North Carolina. Without him, they're still good, but they're not.
Well,
they're
I also wonder if they're going to have the Gonzaga reality of, like, they haven't really had to play a game in 4 months.
Oh, 100%. I mean, second round, I actually think they're in good position. Mississippi State, Baylor, I don't see them getting a huge challenge in either of those games. I like their draw.
I like their draw better than I like Auburn's. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, have you seen the video that I think Field of 68 got it, but it was Cal explaining the schedule to his team of what they're going to do this week before heading to Providence. Have you seen the video?
And Big Z says, where is Providence?
What is that? In the United States is what Cal said. It did also make me wonder, it's like, has Cal not been in the Northeast that long?
Surely Cal knows where Providence is, right?
I would almost certainly. But Zvonimir Ivicic was the one that asked where it was, but of course, in the United States. I did think that was a pretty good one. All right, man, I know you got a big, big week. Load up on the Celsius, try to get the sleep when you can, my man.
Brother, I appreciate you.
All right, good luck to you. That, of course, is David Cobb. Make sure you check out all his work over at CBSSports.com. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.